we open quickly to Philippians. Just a few thoughts about Philippians. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Philippians 3 verse 1 says, "For the rest, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Philippians 4 verse 8 says, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." As we said, Philippians chapter 1 talks about the Christ is the believer's life. Chapter 2, he is his to be this mind, he is the example of the believer. Chapter 3, he is the goal of the believer. And chapter 4, he is the strength of the believer. Chapter 3 looks like, verse 1, the apostle was about to conclude his message. He had the same, the Spirit worked differently. He wanted us to conclude it. The Spirit said no. He has an important message that we're going to go through. We're going to give it to the believers. And then the same message that he wanted to conclude, to rejoice in the Lord, he elaborates later on in Philippians 4, verse 4. The same scenario happened in Ephesians 3, verse 1. Compare it with Ephesians 4, verse 1. The same scenario happened there. You can look at it in your own mind. Well, if you don't look at it just for... Let's look at it. Ephesians 3 verse 1 says, "For this reason I, Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you nations." Then a whole passage goes through, and then chapter 4 verse 1, "I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you therefore to walk worthy of the calling wherein ye have been called." So this is the Spirit of God works in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, we talked about numbers. That in Philippians 2, the Lord has seven times, humbled himself twice, but seven times he stepped down. Complete, number seven says about complete. There's no more anyone can go below what the Lord has gone for us to the cross. Then there's seven exaltation for the Lord, and the three spheres are mentioned. Heaven, earth, and under the earth, when it talks about the authority of the Lord. Then you have, and we read, and just to compare it with Colossians, I speak fast and I have an accent. If you don't understand me, let me know, I slow down. In Colossians 1 verse 20, when we talk about reconciliation, we mention two spheres. How blessed is it that we are, today we bow to the authority of the Lord and not when, come as a judge for us. Just a little bit more for those that they love to read Philippians. It's beautiful a book to read. Chapter 3 talks about, in the beginning, about the past of the Apostle Paul. Then in the middle of that chapter talks about the present of the condition of Apostle Paul. And then he talks about his future. Verse 21, he talks about him to be, his body to be changed to a different body. That's how it is, if you want to read it. But the number seven, the third one that I will talk about, is the word rejoice. In chapter 2, yes, we have the example of the Lord to be the same mind, but he brought three persons as an example for the Philippians. The first one was himself. Mm-hmm. And he talked about himself in one verse. And then he spoke about Timothy. He spoke four or five verses that he will be a source of refreshment to the saints. Then he talked about Epaphroditus. More, he talked about him also as someone is loving to the saints, that he even was not distressed when he was sick, but he was distressed when the saints heard that he was sick. That's how much he loved the saints. But now he's telling them, yes, they can be a source of rejoicing to you. Mm-hmm. He mentioned six times before 3:1. He mentioned six times the word rejoice. Maybe chapter 1, that he remembered them, that he rejoiced in remembering them. You might be rejoiced in remembering a brother. Rejoiced in that a brother that he doesn't speak that much in the meeting, he starts now coming up speaking in the meeting. Or a brother that he's doing it with a bad intention, but he's still preaching Christ. You still rejoice in that. Now, you can rejoice in a brother coming to serve you, and he has the same mind as a child, as a father. weird because Paul was old in the age, Timothy young, and one is eager, fast when I do things, one is slow down, but they still can do it together because they have the mind of the Lord. And then you have someone who's a fellow soldier in the service, you can rejoice in him, but they all might one day fail you. They might all, you might be disappointed from a brother that who you think he is the big shot of the meeting. You might be disappointed by him, by his behavior one time. You might be by a service. A brother will do a service. You might be refreshed. Later on down the road, he will disappoint you. But now he's telling them, you can rejoice in those, but now rejoice in the Lord. He's number seven. He said the seventh time that is mentioned. Rejoice in the Lord. My question is why we don't rejoice in the Lord. He, Apostle Paul, presented to them all things that you can rejoice, and in the end he brings them Christ. He's the complete rejoice of the believer. In him he is, we can rejoice. Why we go to times of trouble, but we don't rejoice? Why we don't have that peace? Now the Lord, we're gonna go to, Book of John. We stop about Paul, everyone else. We're gonna go to the Lord himself. Why he said, he give us the solution actually. Some of them, Brother Tim actually answered, two of them. There's also another seven set that the Lord has spoken about. John 13, 14, 15, and 16 talk that the Lord has given, taking his private talk with his disciples, taking them to the kind of an upper chamber. Mm-hmm. He's talked to them above the scene. They were worried about things. They were troubled. He answered their questions. Answered Peter. Answered the other question that they asked him. Another two questions from different disciples. Mm-hmm. Asked them their questions. In a time of trouble, he distributed peace to them. Mm-hmm. The doors were shut. And because of the fear of the Jew, they were scared. But the Lord came and he said, peace be to you. So in a scenario of confusion and trouble and fear, the Lord comes in the midst and he distributes peace. But why when we come to us, we don't feel it? John 14, verse 1 says, he has seven of them. We probably talk about five in a short time. Let not your heart be troubled. This is the Lord saying it, not Paul, no Peter, the Lord. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. Second, in my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I had told you. Three, for I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and I prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you, well, we stop here. And John, the same book, chapter, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then, I'm not gonna read them because Brother Tim talked about it, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and we are not orphaned. He is, we have him for us, and we have the Holy Spirit. And then, verse 27, that we have the peace of God. Mm. So these are the seven. He will, if you believe in him, you see, why, Lord, I should not be troubled? Because he said, if ye believe on God, ye also believe in me. I'm going to bring some examples. Moses. You see, during that period of times, he revealed a little bit of himself until he spoke in son, mm-hmm. his son. God revealed himself to Adam as the creator. Adam knew God as the creator. Abraham knew God as the almighty, but that did not stop Abraham from knowing him as the creator. So Abraham knew God, the creator, and the Almighty God. Then bring Moses. Moses was like, oh, who me that you're going to pick up? You know, circumstances around me might be changed. People, I don't even know how to talk. He told him, I am that I am. Hebrew, I am that I am. Oh, Moses, I am the one that Adam knew me as the Creator. I am the one that Abraham knew me as the Almighty. And I am the same one. I will not change. They might change around you, but I am the same one that I will be with you. So I will not be changed. I am that I am. So believe in me, that's what he told him. And you will go through. I will help you. The Lord told her, you are worried about many things, but the need is of one. That's why he's taking the disciple eyes, put it on him, believe on him. And I believe we are the lake of faith on the Lord Jesus, that he can pull us through sometimes some troubles. Yes, we do believe that our sins are forgiven. We have a clear conscience about that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you trouble that you don't believe that he is able to take you through. Mm-hmm. That you don't have that belief. And that's what he's telling them. Peter asked him, where you go? He told him, his answer was, actually, I go to prepare you a place. That mm-hmm. was his answer to Peter. Mm-hmm. Before we go to that, let's talk about Paul. Paul was in the ship, Acts 27, mm-hmm. 14 days in a ship. And in America, we think that's hurricane names. They start 1960. But actually, they have a name for the hurricane. They are some name.
Yeah.
Yes, some name. So it did not start there. The Bible talks about names in the hurricane. So it was, he was in a ship. People, could not control it. 14 days, they went to throw the cargo of the shipboard, and they were in trouble. And he could encourage them, tell them, be encouraged, because the angel of God has stood beside me. And he told me that we all will be saved, and we're gonna, face Caesar. How do you know that, Paul? Where you got that thing from? Well, because I believe God, and it thus shall be. So he believed, and that's how it shall be, and I believe him. And we all will be saved. But where you got the assurance from? Where you got the assurance? For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep my deposit commit unto him. So he had the full belief, the full assurance that God is able to do it. Yeah. And that's what we need. Peter, in Acts 12, Herod the king slew James, the brother of John. Mm. And he saw that it was a pleasure and it pleased the nation. And he said, in the morning, I'm going to present Peter. Peter's sleeping. Oh, Peter, how you can sleep? What the psalmist will say, in peace, while I both lay me down and sleep. For thou, Jehovah, only can sustain me, or something. So, can you sleep like you are about to be killed in the morning? He's sleeping. Even the verses in Acts says that the angel had to smite him in his sight to wake him up. Did he wake up? No. He was walking, sleeping. He was walking, sleeping, going through the doors. And when he came back to himself, after he was saved from that prison, he knew that it was reality. Yeah. That's how much he was. So you can sleep. I mean, what a peace he will have. Someone is going to die. He is sleeping. I sleep with four pillows. I'm not even sure how he could sleep. I mean, what kind of, he had chains in his hands, in his legs, and four soldiers here, four there, on all sides. And he is sleeping. I know, I mean, how he could sleep, but, well, he slept because he had the peace of God. He had the confidence of God that he could deliver him. So you believe in God, you believe in me. So if we believe in the Lord Jesus, he is able to walk us through, put our trust. We apply this, an application of what we had today. We just don't just believe in him. We can know all scriptures. We sanctified, we justified, we redeemed, we saved. But if we do apply that, we put our faith in him that he is able to save us. We're just gonna be only merely people walking with a conscience that is not clear about the peace that God is able to take us through our tribulation. Martha told the Lord, he stinketh. 4 days he is there. He's not someone that you cannot just open his eyes or just go carry your bed and just go walk. He is 4 days in what you doing. He's 4 days in the grave. He stinketh. He told her, if you believe Martha, you will see the glory of God. So there's nothing impossible for the Lord. And then he said to him, and my father have, there were many abodes. These abodes, they were not, you see, we don't really know them, how they look like. But Apostle Paul, one time, he caught to heaven, to a third heaven, and he came down. I strongly believe he said about them unspeakable things. And that's what the Apostle Paul said about. That's what I believe. It might be someone, it might be wrong, but that's what I strongly believe. He saw the Father house. Mm-hmm. He saw there and he came back down saying it is unspeakable things. That's what the abode that we have. If we don't have a place here, we have an abode there in for the Lord. And he said to us, I go prepare you a place. So the places were not that short of places, and the Lord is going to prepare for more places, to hire a contractor, to hire more. I thought I'm going to have 50,000. Now I have 100. Give him another 50. No. They are prepared. But the place here he's preparing, he's going to the cross. Mm. He's going to the cross there. He's going to die there. So we can actually be redeemed. We can then fit to be in the place where, in the abode that he's talking about. And then after that is the assurance that he is coming to take us there. Mm. And then we have, well, he is, we will be. And then you have his name. That's in verse 13. If you ask in my name, it's our visa card that we can pray with. The name of the Lord Jesus. Now there's a lot of believers, they go and they are, Lord, give me a Bugatti car or give me $1 million. And they be faithful. I mean, they be praying and they like, come, they like with their faith, like, yes, he's going to do it. Because I prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they believe it. But we miss the point. The point is, it has to be, yes, in his name. And it has to be according to his will, and according to the glory of his God and Father. So, when Peter was released from the prison, before that, it says in Acts that its unceasing prayer was made for him, that they prayed. And a prayer was, in the name of the Lord Jesus, yes, according to his own will, and I pray that to glorify him, then God just could not just take it. He just had to go and save him, because that's according to his own name, his will, and his glory. And then you have the Holy Spirit. Even if you don't know how to pray, you have the Holy Spirit that will take it and present it to God in a way that it will be presentable to him. Mm-hmm. And then you have the peace of God that will be the same power that God, the Lord, we spoke about it, walked to the cross. He have given it to you. Mm-hmm. So the minute that you believe in the Lord Jesus, and you then know that even if you don't have a place here, he has an abode for you upstairs. Upstairs, but up there. And he went to the cross to make you fit and make me fit to go and dwell there. And he's coming back to take us. And we have his name that we can actually pray and use for his glory. Mm-hmm. And then we're not orphans. We have the Holy Spirit in the scene with us. And then we have the power of his peace. Then we can actually conquer and we can go over our tribulation.
Amen. Amen.